I would like to ask you, if you will, please, this morning, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4, toward the very end of the New Testament, you have the book of Revelation, and then back up about five or six pages, you should be in the book of 1 John. I'd like to read from 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. I encourage you to follow in your Bibles as we try to read and study God's holy word. The subject that's on my heart this morning is the subject of love, L-O-V-E. How would you define love? I'd like for somebody here to tell me, how would you define love? Anybody? What is love? Unselfish giving. All right, that would be part of what love is. Love would be unselfish giving. Okay, it's charity in action. All right, it's a strong feeling of devotion and attachment.
Giving of oneself to another.
Okay, giving of oneself to another. All of those are part of what, and the reason I ask you to tell me what love is because there really are a lot of different ideas about what love is. And I think that every one of you have stated a truth about love, and I'm not going to try to convince you of some particular definition of love. I think that all of us, to some degree, know what we're talking about when we talk about love. We know that the Word of God tells us that we're to love one another. We know that the Word of God tells us that love is of God. The Bible tells us God is love, and the Word of God tells us that we're to love God and we're to love one another. I'd like to ask you now to look at 1 John chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Before I begin to read from God's Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God who is all-powerful and all-wise. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing that you're not only the God of heaven and earth, but you're our Heavenly Father, that you love us with an everlasting love and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We thank you, Lord, for sending thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful for the privilege that we have to be a part of thy church and thy kingdom in the earth. We pray that you would help us to live each day to thy name's honor and glory, that you would help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the fruit of the Spirit of God and for describing that the very first part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. So help us now this morning as we begin to read and study from thy holy word. We pray that your Spirit would be our teacher. We thank you, Lord, for filling your house with your people. And we pray now that you would fill your people with thy Spirit. And bless us as we go forth from the house of God, that thy word would have been as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray that thou would bless all those who are sick and afflicted, that you would bless them and strengthen them and lift them up and restore them to their health. We ask you, Lord, to bless the families of those that are sick, that you would give them the strength and grace that they need. Pray that you would bless the families who are having trouble, that you would bind them back together with thy love. You would be with all of thy people the world over. Bless every person here this morning. You know the needs of each individual and each family. We pray that you would bless, not according to what we deserve, but according to thy mercy and thy grace. Bless us all and help us this day and the rest of our lives. Help us to remember the brevity of life, that we're only going to be here a little while. So help us to live each day as if it's our last. Help us, Lord, to honor thee and glorify thee. Help us to let our light so shine before men. We pray in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, as we begin to try to read and study some of the things that the Word of God says about love. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. The Word of God says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If correctly read, that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I want us first of all to think about, after it said in verse 7 that love is of God, and then in verse 8 it says that God is love. Then in verses 9 and 10, the Word of God talks about how God has shown His love toward us. And the number one way that God has shown His love toward us, though there are many ways that we can describe how God has shown His love toward us, the number one way, the primary way that God has shown His love toward us is that God sent His only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. Now, that's the ultimate sacrifice, and all of that is because of God's love. The Word of God says in John 3:16, "For God so what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." What did God do? When God sent forth His Son, He was proving and showing His love. And as we read the Word of God, I know that many times in our lives, when we talk about love, we're just talking about something we feel in our hearts. But if I really feel love for you, I'm going to manifest that love. When we read about God loving us, God does not simply say, "I love you," and then do nothing for us, but rather, God proves His love and God shows His love. God so loved the world that He what? What's the next word? That He gave. You see, the action that's connected with the word love. God loved and God gave. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, God, listen carefully, God's Word says that God commendeth His love toward us. You see the action of the word love. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, you see the action, you see the manifestation of love. It's not, love is not just something you feel in your heart, but love is something that moves and motivates you to do something. Now, if God so loved us, what does He say in verse 11? In verse 11 He says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." But you know, there's no way to overemphasize the importance of true love. And let me say right here that there is a false love. There is an ungodly love that the Word of God talks about. Are there some things that God says we are not to love? All right, 1 John, same book, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, God says, "Love not the world." You remember that? Love not the world. So the idea that God would just have us love everything and everybody is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God says in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." We're not to love the world and we're not to love the things that are in the world. The Word of God also tells us, how many of you have ever heard that money is the root of all evil? Have any of you ever heard that expression? Money is the root of all evil. Well, that's not a true statement. A lot of people quote it as if it's the Word of God. The Word of God does not say that money is the root of all evil. The Word of God says the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's the loving of money, it's the loving of the things of the world, loving the world and loving the things of the world, that's not pleasing to God. But what is pleasing to God is to love God and to love one another. I want you to back up in your Bibles right now just to look at the preeminence of love and look at how the Word of God says that love is the most important thing that must be manifest in our lives. It doesn't matter what else you know. It doesn't matter if you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It does not matter if you read your Bible every day. It doesn't matter what else you do. If you don't have love, if you're not showing love, then you're not a Christian. You cannot fail to show love and be a Christian. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 22. Back up in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 22. And I want you to notice in Matthew 22 that the Word of God tells us about a man who came to Jesus. And that man, he was a lawyer. The man said in Matthew chapter 22, I want you to notice beginning in verse 36. And you all, I know that you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Now, let me tell you, this Scripture came to my mind last night as I was thinking about, Lord, why is it that I'm to preach about love today? Everybody knows everything there is to know about love. And this Scripture came very vividly to my mind. Here's what Peter said. You stay right here in Matthew 22. But I want you to know why God is teaching us and speaking to us about love today. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, the Word of God says, wherefore, this is what Peter is saying to the elect of God, he says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. What's he saying? Peter's saying, I know that you know these things. But he says, I'm going to always put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and though you are established in this present truth. He says, I still have the responsibility to remind you and to cause you to remember that the most important thing that we must have in our lives is love. Now look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Jesus has a man come to him, and the man says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, the man says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? I just thank God for the wisdom of Jesus Christ. No matter how they tried to trick Jesus, no matter what they came to Jesus with, every time you can just hear nothing but wisdom in his response. And so this man said, which is the great commandment? Which is the most important commandment in the law? Which is the most important commandment? And listen to the response of Jesus. Verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, here's the first and great commandment. Thou shalt what? Thou shalt love. When you think of the Ten Commandments, what do you think of first of all? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not. Usually when you think of the Ten Commandments, though they're not all that way, much of the Ten Commandments and much of the Old Testament is concentrating on, don't do this, don't do this. And I think that sometimes in Christianity today, sometimes we lose sight of the fact it's not just that we're not supposed to do a lot of things. There are a lot of things we're supposed to be doing, and that's what Jesus is concentrating on right here, is what we're to be doing. In fact, if you'll do what these two commandments say, you won't be doing any of the things the Bible tells you not to do. Look now at what he says. Thou shalt love, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Do you love God? Do you really love God? Am I talking about a little fuzzy feeling down inside that you occasionally feel love for God? That's not what Jesus is talking about. What did we think about back there about God's love for us? God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you love God, you will be manifesting your love for God. If you really love God, in fact, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That's what he said in John 14, verse 15. And then in John 14, verse 23, he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If we're not keeping the words of God, if we're not keeping the commandments of God, if we're not serving God, we do not love God. Because if a man love me, Jesus says, he will keep my words. You're not loving God. You're not loving God if you're not manifesting that love. You've heard me say it before. Who says in my family, me and my wife, who says I love you the most? Who says that? Who says those words, I love you the most? Who says that, me or Teresa? No. Who says the words, I love you the most? Who says the words, I love you the most? I say I love you many more times than she does, other than the fact she will typically say, I love you too. I say I love you. I say I love you several times a day, usually, with my mouth. I say I love you. But who loves the other one the most? Who is loving the other one the most? Who is? She is loving me more than I am loving her. And why can I say that? Because she is continuously doing things to help me. She's always doing things to help me in my ministry. She's doing things behind the scenes all the time the church knows nothing about. She is always serving God. She loves God and she loves me, and she's proving her love for me. And sometimes when I get so foolish as to say, why don't you say I love you more? She'll say, why don't you show me that you love me more? And sometimes she'll say, instead of saying I love you, why don't you get up and vacuum right now? Why don't you go in there and you straighten up the room? Why don't you go in there and straighten up your office? Why don't you clean up a little, some of your mess? Why don't you just clean it up? Because that's the way I would say what? What am I saying if I get up and do those things? I am saying what? Can you say I love you without ever opening your mouth? Are there many people who verbalize, I love God, I love God, but they don't love God? They talk about their love for God. They verbalize their love for God. They may walk down the aisle and say, I love God. But listen, brethren, if we're not showing love for God, we don't really love God. The biblical term of loving is manifesting that we feel in us. And we're to love God and we're to love one another. The first and great commandment, the most important commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now come down to verse 39. After he says this is the first and great commandment, then in verse 39 he says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, you remember there was a man that came to Jesus and said, who is my neighbor? Did he know he was supposed to love his neighbor? Is your neighbor the person that just lives next door to you? Is that your neighbor? Let me ask you a little deeper question. Is my wife my neighbor? Is my wife my neighbor? Yes, she is. Though I haven't seen Lee Bush in many years, is he my neighbor? He's my neighbor. I love him. Though we have seen each other very seldom since our adulthood, I love him. I love Bush Lady. I love Regina. I love, hardly know Christian, but I kind of love him a little bit because I love Regina. But the point I'm trying to get across is you don't have to know somebody very long to start loving them. I believe that there's a kindred in the body of Christ. I believe that there's a love that we have for God, and there's a love that we have for the brethren. I believe that we love each other. When we see the Spirit of God in somebody's life, we immediately start loving them. We feel great kindred toward them. We feel love and fellowship with them. How long does a baby have to be born before you start loving them? Did you know that I loved every one of my children before they were ever born? I loved them as soon as the doctor said, you're with child. I began to love them and think about them and pray for them. I started praying for my children about who they were going to marry while they were still in their mother's womb. You might think, good gracious, you're trying to get rid of them. No, I wasn't. I just know the seriousness of marriage. And you and I, as God's people, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray one for another. What are you doing when you pray for other people? You're loving them. That's exactly right. You're loving them. But now, if you can do more than just pray, if there's something you can do to help people, you don't need to just pray for them. The book of James makes that clear. If there's a brother or sister destitute of daily food, and they're not able to work, and you say, well, I'll pray for you, then you're not doing what God says to do. In fact, God says that faith without works is dead, being alone. Don't tell me that you love somebody if you're not doing something for them. These dear saints from the nursing home that are here today, these dear people of God, they love God, do they not? Do they love God? Do they love the church? Do they love the Word of God? Thank you, Sister Stolle. I know that you do. She does. Now, my question is, do you love them? Do you love them? Most everybody's head's going, yes, yes, we love. No, no. You don't love them if you're not doing anything for them. They sit in their homes. Do you know the number one thing they need more than anything else? Do you know what they want? Do you know what they need more than anything else? It's not take them out and buy them a steak dinner. It's not something material. Do you know what these people are hungering for? Do you know what children are hungering for? Do you know what all these little children in the church, do you know what they want more than money and more than toys? Do you know what they want? What do they want? To be loved. Everybody hear that sermon that she just preached? It's pitiful when an old wrinkled woman is in the nursing home, and you're not talking about yourself, Sister Stolle, are you? You're talking about somebody else. Because Sister Stolle has family that visits with her, but there are a lot of people in the nursing home that their children never go to see them. Does everybody follow that? And what did Sister Stolle say? She said, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. It's ridiculous. Let me tell you something, brethren. God will judge you severely if you neglect your mom and your daddy. The Word of God says the first commandment with promise is thou shalt love, or thou shalt honor. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. If you don't love your mom and your daddy, if you don't show love to them, let me tell you all you children here, if you don't honor your parents, God's going to judge you severely for that. Love your parents. Love them. Show love to them. Manifest love to them. And this dear brother says, I love my mama and she's dead. Okay, he loves his daddy, but he's dead too. Do you still love him? I've heard my mama say many times, I'd give anything if I could just talk to my mama one more time. Just say one more thing. Listen, brethren, love is so important. It's more important than money. It's more important than food. It's more important than anything is love. We need more love. We need to love more people. We need to be more loving to people. We need to manifest more love. We need to show that love. Love God. Show your love for God. Love your neighbor. And your neighbor includes any and everybody that you come in contact with. Do you think the only people that I try to serve are the members of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church? Is that the only people I'm supposed to love in this community? Listen, brethren, everybody that I come in contact with and everybody that you come in contact with, you have the responsibility to consider them as your neighbor and do what you can to help them, even if they're on the wrong track. You need to love them enough to try to correct them and convert them. What is love? What is true love? You know, some people say about their children, they say, I love my child too much to spank them. That's a devil's love. Do you hear what I'm telling you? That's a devil's kind of love. You don't believe that? You turn in your Bibles and you read Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. And the Word of God says, he that does not spank or discipline his child does not love his child. He that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes. That is many times and also early in his life. You will chasten your children if you love them. If you don't love them, you will ignore them. A church that does not discipline the members of that body, they do not love the members of that body. This is 1 Corinthians. I'm turning now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that the Word of God here, just as when Jesus said, what's the first and great commandment? It's thou shalt love God and love thy neighbor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Word of God emphasizes the preeminence of love. That no matter what else you do, if you don't have love, It doesn't amount to anything. Nothing else you do is of any value if it's not moved and motivated out of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm trying to get to the point in just a moment about the fact that there is a devil's kind of love. I want to give you this, and then we'll go to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, listen, beginning with verse 1. And the word charity is used here, which is love. Like Brother Neil said, it's love in action. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, listen to verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Can that be a preacher? Can that be a preacher? Can a preacher sometimes speak with the tongues of men and of angels? The Apostle Paul was a preacher. He's talking specifically right here about himself. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. What is charity? Love in action. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's just a little clink. Just nothing. And then he says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Can you have a lot of good things in your life but not have love? You hear what I'm saying? Can you have a lot of good things in your life but not have love? Well, heads are going both ways. Well, I think this is saying you can have a lot of good things, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, can you feed the poor and still not love them? Can you be feeding them but not loving them? Can you give money to the church and not be loving the church? Certainly you can. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Come down to verse 13. I encourage you to go home and read this entire chapter, but look at verse 13, the last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The Word of God says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, that's love in action, these three, but which one of those is the greatest? Charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Is it more important than faith? Is it more important than hope? Is it more important than knowledge? Is it more important than understanding? Is it more important than anything else? Yes, it is. What's the number one thing? What's the first and great commandment? What's the first and great commandment? The first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And now what's he say here? The greatest of these is charity. The Word of God tells us about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. It tells us the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Guess what the first part of the fruit of the Spirit is? The fruit of the Spirit is, and then it lists the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, what's number one? Love. Love. Colossians chapter 3, the Word of God tells us a lot of things that we need to have in our lives. But do you know what it says is the most important thing? He says, above all these things, put on charity, love. Love's the most important thing. And if it's not there, my mind just has problems with always going back to, it's just this little feeling in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? What do I say to my wife all the time? Do I have that little fuzzy feeling in my heart for my wife? Do I have that little fuzzy feeling? Yeah. Is that what real, true, godly love is all about? No. What's real love all about? Love is about doing things, showing the love that you feel inside. Now, there is a devil's kind of love. Everybody listen very carefully. There's a devil's kind of love, and that means that you just ignore everything in everybody's life because you love them so much you don't want to upset them. That is not God's love. Listen, here's what God said. The Scripture says this. The Scripture says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Whom the Lord loves, he what? He chastens. That's love. Love and discipline are inseparable. If discipline is not present, godly love is not there. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Some people say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus says,
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What does Jesus do? Jesus chastens those that he loves. What does a family do? If you love your children, what are you going to do, Brother John? Discipline them. Do you know why? You know why their children sit there and behave? Do you know why children learn to just sit there and behave in church? Do you know why that is? Do you know what it takes? Brother James, your two little children were just born sweet and you don't have to spank them. Is that right? He's being facetious. If you can see his face, he's just teasing. It took discipline. You can look around at children and you can tell whose parents love them the most. Did you know that? You can watch children and tell whose parents love them the most. Bush lady, you're a loving person. I remember you as a loving person. But also remember, I was scared of you when I was a little boy. Now, do you know why I was scared of her? Does anybody know why I was scared of Bush lady? Now, she loved me, but I was also scared of her. Do you know why? Lee, tell me why I was scared of her. Yes, she would. She would correct you pretty good. Now, she never whipped me, but I thought she would. The fear was there. The concern was there. And so when she said do something, sometimes she would speak, and it would kind of scare me, and I would do what she said. But I knew she loved me. And that's the way it's got to be. With true love is that way. True love is you love them. You let them know you love them. But you also let them know there are parameters that you set up in their lives. The same thing's true of the church. The same thing's true of the family. It's true of God. God will not ignore our disobedience. Parents should not ignore the disobedience of their children. If you don't correct your children and keep them in line, if you don't make them dress right, you listen to what I'm telling you? You let your children dress provocatively, you're asking for trouble. I'll guarantee you, I'll give it to you in writing, trouble is coming in your life. You are tempting them, and you're promoting ungodliness in their life. Go ahead if you want to. Trouble will destroy you and destroy them if you don't correct your children. Love. Let me just say this in closing. Listen carefully. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus makes this statement. Let me ask this church something. What is the most important thing about this church? Thank you, sister. That's right. The most important thing about a church is not just the doctrines that she teaches. Does everybody understand that? Now, doctrines are important because the Scripture says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's not the church if the truth is not there. But it is also not the church of Jesus Christ if love is not there. Love is absolutely essential. What does Jesus say is the way people will identify disciples of Jesus? How can you look at somebody and tell whether or not they're a child of God? Let me ask you that first. That's right. If they have love one for another. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Did you know that people who love, they are born of God, even if they don't know they've been born again? People that love God and love the people of God, that's an unmistakable evidence. They're children of God. They may not be a part of the church, may not be a part of the kingdom of heaven, but if they love God and they love people, that's an unmistakable evidence. The only people who love God, we love Him because He first what? Loved us. If you love God, that's because He first loved you. If you love people, that's because God has put love in your heart. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Listen, if ye have love one for another. Did I quote that correctly? No, I didn't. You see, you can have love one for another without showing it. You follow what I'm saying? That's important. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Do you see the difference in having love for someone and love to someone?
Love to someone is doing something for them. Love for someone can just be a little fuzzy feeling in the heart. I'll close with this. All you husbands, listen carefully. Brother Jimmy, tune in real good. Brother David, Brother Brian, Brother James, Brother Wendell, Brother Billy. Always remember now, when I've got one finger pointed out here, I've got three fingers pointed back at me. I want you to remember that. Three times in Ephesians chapter 5, the Word of God says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Say, I love you. Well, that's good. You need to say it, but you need to show it. Husbands, love your wives. Parents, love your children. Children, love your parents. May God help us to realize the importance of love in our lives and showing that love every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.